Blog Talk Radio.
Sports fans, welcome back to another episode, edition of the Neek and Rube Sports Talk Show. Fans, if you're just tuning in right now, you're probably saying, what is the Neek and Rube Show? You see it across your screen, you're like, But if you can read, hopefully most guys can read, it says we're recapping the 2019 NFL Draft NFC Conference. And that's what we're doing tonight. I'm your host, Neek, my main man, my good buddy, Rudy Rude. How you doing tonight, man?
Hold on, Neek. I thought I was the host. So, you know, we do this thing together. We bring it to y'all. This is for the fans, by the fans. So, you know, hey, the Neek and Rude Show, where better could you be at a time like now than listening to us getting ready for this this upcoming football season? It's going to be a great season. We're going to talk about what NFC teams did in the draft this year, and then also, you kind of give you some news that's still going down, still a lot of free agency moves, some retirements, things like that. So,
yeah, I mean, we're going to get into this news, but man, you know what? It's so funny because, you know, I've had fans who used to follow our other show with the Neek and Chuck show and the Truth by Two Sports fans and the Sorry Honey, I Love Sports More, I Love You. People are like, Neek, man, when are you going to do the W Gut Award? And I just want to say it so bad. But it's just the off season, so I can't do my war segment tonight. And that is the W Gutter stands for Who Gave Up That Ass with No Vaseline. Yeah, we're talking about players on the field, talking about cornerbacks getting burned and all that stuff. But that will be coming up on the show in August.
I call them toast. You know, when them corners, when they be suspect, you know, them corners that get drafted in the first round, like, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself in the news, but, you know, one guy that just recently got signed was Jamar Taylor. You know, he landed on the Seahawks just earlier this week. So congratulations to Jamar Taylor. But, you know, it's like we're going to go over the draft today. Jamar Taylor was, what, a second-round draft pick, Neek? And there was times in Miami and in Cleveland, too, especially after first breakout years, that he was toast. You know, he was getting burnt. He was getting put in the toaster. You know what I'm saying? Also, Seahawks did sign Ezekiel Ansah to help replace Frank Clark. So that's, you know, just a couple of the transactions that happened. Also, the Seahawks did release Cam Chancellor. So that was something.
And Doug Baldwin, man. How you going to forget about Doug Baldwin, man? Come on, Rudy.
Can't forget about Angry Doug.
But, no, big up to Doug Baldwin and Cam Chancellor. And it's funny because when you see the news that the Seahawks released Cam Chancellor, you're like, hold on. I thought this was 2018. No, it's actually 2019. Cam Chancellor, we know that he had to step away from the game of football due to the neck injuries. And the same thing with Doug Baldwin. The Seahawks decided to release both of these players due to failed physicals. But with Doug Baldwin, it's funny because before we did this show tonight, Rue, you and I were sitting here talking about Doug Baldwin. I know you were shocked, like, what, Doug Baldwin? Why are they getting rid of Doug Baldwin? Well, it's injuries. I mean, he's a very productive player, but there's been rumors and talks about he's probably going to step away from the game due to multiple, you know, knee injury, shoulder injury, neck injury. I mean, he just banged the ball over. His whole body just hurt. Make me feel like an old man right now.
But Father Time's undefeated, you know. So, hey, game takes a toll, buddy.
It sure does. But, you know, Doug Baldwin actually had a great, productive NFL career. You know, and it's funny because hopefully he can – rehab and get well, because I would love to see him play again.
I was about to mess with you and say Doug Baldwin, Hall of Fame career. You know what? He had a Hall of Fame career just like Ben Watson. who signed not really a Hall of Fame career, but a solid long longevity. Ben Watson's been playing for 15 years. Did you know that name? That's a long time. He had about 80 catches in, I think it was 2014, I want to say, with the Saints, 74 catches. And he's had a long career. You know, had to stop for the Browns as well. So he did get signed by the Patriots, you know, obviously with Rob Gronkowski, you know, retiring, announcing his retirement after the Patriots won the Super Bowl. They did sign Ben Watson. And another signing the Patriots just had today was Dontrell Inman. So that was kind of interesting, you know, to see that the Patriots keep loading up. I don't know that we mentioned it. Did we mention it before that I actually thought that Josh Gordon was pretty much done with football, but the Patriots did, you know, tender him, and he signed his tender as well.
Yeah, he sure did. But, you know, I would love to see Josh Gordon get back on the field. I mean, tremendous NFL player when he's on the field, but off the field, one of the worst worst human beings off the field. Now, I ain't going to say that, man. I ain't going to talk about Josh Gordon, man.
He just likes to smoke the weed.
Yeah, like Stephen A. Smith say, stay off the weed. But anyway, Bucks news. It's crazy, man, because a few days ago, we saw the report about JPP, who was in a severe,
don't
I guess
tell
it was
me he
a,
lost another finger.
Nah, he didn't lose another finger, but he had another accident.
He got into a car accident and lost another finger?
No, he didn't lose his other finger.
Okay. He still got, I was about to say he still got all of his fingers.
Yeah.
But he still got the ones he has.
He's got nine. Okay. I think maybe nine
eight
and a
half.
Half.
Eight
and a half.
Half.
Eight and a half. That's what he has. Okay, let me look at my finger. Yeah, he's
got
eight and a half. But he was actually in a car accident.
Oh, is he all right?
I guess he is.
Not
but
done for the season.
No, no, actually he's not done
no,
for the season. No, because he came out today.
What? Did he?
And he stated and said that he's postponing surgery on his fractured vertebrae.
His neck is messed up. He's done for the season, bro. That's what was announced earlier this week. I mean, you might want to just play it safe before you end up, you know, in a wheelchair, bro. I mean, I wish you the best, of course. I wish you, you know, a quick recovery and hope that you do play this season, but I know neck injuries aren't anything to play with. You know, it's a remember Peyton Manning with his neck injury, how that kind of derailed his career. So, you know, you got to be careful with those.
Yeah, and the thing for JPP, man, I mean, I see why he wants to play because he's not trying to lose that money. You know what I'm saying? You already lost a lot of money with the firework incident. Now with this, unfortunately, he was in a car accident. So JPP, like, hell no, I ain't postponing surgery. For what? Losing out on all this money?
What? For what?
Nah, I'm not losing out on this money. I'm going to get this money, and I'm going to be on that field. Now, you might not get 100%. You might not get 80% out of me. You might not get 60% out of me, but I'm going to show up, and I'm going to try to have about 3 or 4 sacks. And then at the end of the season, you look back and say my stats show that I have 4 sacks on the season,
you know,
with
what?
The asterisk right by it because I had a fractured vertebrae.
You know what? And they also say this man played with 8.5 fingers, got 8.5 sacks. And, yeah, he still came out and played.
Yeah, so I guess when
and a Peyton Manning neck.
Yeah, I guess with the end of his career, he can look back and say, do you know I deserve the Courage Award every year. When I had the firework accident, I played with 8.5 fingers. Now, when I had the vertebrae accident, the car accident, I played. But I wasn't at full strength. So, I mean, I get that, but I ain't going to say, you know, that's a Courage Award. I'm not going to, like I said, I'm not going to talk bad about anybody.
Hey, I've almost blown off my fingers with fireworks before, so I need to leave the man alone.
Yeah, we're going to leave you alone, man, because it's Mother's Day weekend and I'm in a good mood. But his teammate, on the other hand, what is up with these Bucks players, man, in these car accidents? I don't get it. Kendall Beckworth, actually, this happened last year. The Bucks placed him on the IR today. Due to the fact that he was in a car accident last season that mangled his ankle, which he had surgery. And because of that ankle, that surgically repaired ankle has kept him from playing, kept him off the field. He hasn't been able to contribute. This offseason, Bucks looked at him like, nope, we're sorry, man. We're just going to have to hang you on up, man, let you try to heal this whole season. So hopefully Kendall Beckworth, man, because in 2017, his rookie season, he was solid. I mean, he did have, what was it, 73 tackles, a sack, and a forced fumble. So his future was looking bright, but a car accident.
Meanwhile, in other news, the Jacksonville Jaguars released Cody Kessler. Quarterback Cody Kessler, the former Brown, was released by the Jacksonville Jaguars earlier this week to make space for Gardner Minshew. and the signing of Gardner Minshew, who we mentioned last week, and then, of course, Nick Foles, who they signed.
And on that note, only a true diehard Browns fan will know who the hell Coley Kessler is, because anybody other fan in the NFL, like,
Coley Kessler's a very efficient quarterback coming out of USC. He doesn't have the greatest of arms, but he can run a West Coast-style passing offense. He did start for the Browns in 2 years, and that's why they were garbage at that time.
Yeah, so on that, with that being said, Rudy Rue, looks like you want to be his agent. You sound like you want to represent this kid.
Nah, he doesn't have an NFL arm. Now, if the AAF was still, if that was still a thing, maybe we can get Cody Kessler to try out with the XFL and he can try our agent skills with that.
Yeah, that's how I feel about that. But anyway, let's get into these drafts, man. Get into this draft recap, because this is the NFC draft conference recap. Last week, we recapped the AFC conference, talked about all the draft picks who we thought who are actually going to have an impact, the signings that we liked. And we're going to do the same thing for this week's show. And let's start
That's kind of us.
Yeah, I mean, that is kind of us.
Nice guys.
Let's start out with the NFC East, man. And you know, I got to start with my Giants, man, because when I watched this draft, I was excited. Because as a Giant fan, I'm sitting here thinking, like, all right, we got DG. Dave Gettleman is our general manager. I don't know where the hell he's going to go in this draft.
Hold on, man. These is your Giants, bro. I need you to get hype and represent.
Nah, I can't really get hype right now. But what I'm saying is this, is that when I sit there and watch this draft, was watching this draft live, number six, I was sitting here saying, like, all right, man, we got to go after a pass rusher. I said, Ed Oliver will be good right here. Montez Sweat will be perfect right here. So when the pick comes in, they said New York Giants is number six overall pick. Select Daniel Jones, quarterback out of Duke. They're all going to laugh at you. And I sit there and said, what the f-? Yeah, that's exactly what I said. You can fill in the rest. I couldn't believe it. I sat there and looked at that. I said, you serious? Are you serious? That's exactly what I'm saying, man. I was like, I cannot believe this. Like, I was just stunned, man. I mean, seriously, like, I was just really stunned. I was speechless. My boys was like, Neek, man, what the hell's wrong with your team? And I didn't even have no answer.
And Neek, I know this is your team, but at that point, Kyler Murray was the only quarterback that was off the board. So, you know, obviously they could have went Haskins. A lot of people had Haskins going there. Drew Locke was still available. He didn't end up going to the second round. I haven't really mentioned this to the show. I can't wait. Will Greer was somebody that I actually liked better than Daniel Jones in my, you know, analysis before the draft.
But as an emotional fan, you got to take time to calm down. You got to weather the storm. And that's what I did. I sat back and I said, all right, after I got up, went in another room, punched the wall, and, you know, threw my pillows off the bed and just said, what the F, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I was pissed off. But I calmed down, and I actually sat back and looked at it, and I said, if there's a quarterback that you like, a quarterback that you're in love with, a quarterback that you're infatuated with is which Dave Gettleman, our general manager, was. He was infatuated with Daniel Jones. You go ahead and take him. I don't care what number he's at, and I know this sounds like a reach to a lot of people, but there were rumors that Daniel Jones might could have been gone with the Giants' first-round pick at 17. So with that being said, I can't knock the pick because we do need a franchise quarterback. But I'm going to tell you like this. Daniel Jones is very athletic. He can scramble. He can move around in the pocket. He actually, in this draft class, he had the second-highest passing grade behind Kyler Murray on pressured attempts, which means that Duke and Duke's offense, he was pretty much running for his damn life. He was just running around like crazy. And on top of that, he didn't have any support because those Duke wide receivers had the dropsies. When you get the hands on the ball, you got to catch it. And that's what those receivers could not do. So with that being said, he's now going to the NFL, which he's dealing with the best of the best. He has receivers. He has people to throw the ball to. So I'm on board with this. I'm on board with this pick. I like this pick. I don't see Daniel Jones starting this year unless Eli Manning for some reason gets hurt, which he never does, or if he just stinks it up, because now the Giants have an offensive line. So, therefore, I look for us to be competitive this year. All right, but let's move right along. Giants had three first-round picks. Second pick at 17, they had Dexter Lawrence. I wasn't too excited about this pick because I'm sitting here like, why do we need another nose tackle? I mean, we have B.J. Hill and Dalvin Tomlinson. So why do we need another big man? Years ago, Rudy's team, which is the Browns, his team, they used to always draft these 350-pound defensive linemen, put them at
fat
end.
Fat guys.
Yeah, these fat guys will put them at the end as supposed to be edge rushers. Why the hell are you putting those tackles at defense end? You seriously did tell them to run up to actually just go up a couple yards to get to the quarterback.
You're not fast enough.
Nah, you're not fast enough at all. So I wasn't too excited on this, but I do like Dexter Lawrence. He is a space eater. DeAndre Baker, the Giants traded back into the first round. I love this pick right here. It's pretty much the best corner in this draft to me. Definitely, we had a hole at that cornerback position opposite Janoris Jenkins, so this was a great pickup right here. And then we can't forget about Giants actually had four first-round picks because, you know, with that that trade to the Browns, we actually got back Jabril Peppers, and he's actually going to be starting at strong safety for us. And I also love the pick of Julian Love, who we picked up the corner from Notre Dame. He can be our nickel corner for us. And then we have the pass rusher from ODU, Ximines. Is that how you pronounce it? Ximines? I struggle with these names. Yeah, double-digit sacks, tackles for loss in all three seasons while he was at ODU. So when you look at this Giants draft, we already know it's going to hinge on Daniel Jones. I can't give a grade on this. We'll see in 3 years, 3 or 5 years from now. But like I said, I like Daniel Jones. I like his size. I like his athletic ability. That being said, that's the Giants draft, and I'm actually happy.
I can't believe that you're happy. I told you, Nick, as far as, you know, the second two picks in the first round, I actually kind of like when it came to DeAndre Baker and Dexter Lawrence. I feel like both of those are pretty good value picks. Dexter Lawrence, you know, at one point before he got suspended at the end of the year, he was having a really, you know, explosive year at Clemson. So, you know, those are two excellent picks. And Daniel Jones, we just got to see what happens. You're right, Nick. He is very athletic, but we're not sure, you know, if he's really developed enough. And he never really had that wow factor at Duke, you know, never really won like that. So we'll see what he could do in the NFL. And if he could basically, you know, take the reins over after Eli retires, then, you know, then that pick's been worth it for the Giants. But we're moving right along. The Dallas Cowboys. Everybody knows what's going on with the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones is in charge. He's got on his cowboy hat. He's got the stadium roof open there down in. The Cowboys have some interesting things on the horizon. You know, an impending deal might need to be made for Dak Prescott. You have Ezekiel Elliott, who's still got a couple years left on his contract, but he's going to want money. And don't forget about Amari Cooper, who they acquired via trade. So in this draft, the Cowboys, their strategy was, I think, to, you know, probably go ahead and improve the, you know, the lawn more so than anything. So not a lot of, I don't think, splash picks here for the Cowboys. What they did early on in this draft was, I felt, not a great pick. It was a reach for a guy kind of from a small school from the Cowboys in Tristan Hill, who is a defensive lineman out of, you know, Central Florida. I mean, Central Florida, you know, they have had a couple great years. We'll see what he could do, if he could impact that D-line. Obviously, you know, the Cowboys do already have quite a bit of talent on that D-line. And as far as the Cowboys, I mean, when I try to look at any other picks in this draft that really stood out to me, they did draft Mike Weber out of Ohio State. That was actually in the seventh round, 218th overall pick. So, you know, I was actually surprised to see him fall that far. But that actually might be something that can help the Cowboys to spell Ezekiel Elliott, you know, with, I guess, probably his old teammate. Did they play together at Ohio State? Yeah, I guess they did. So, yeah, that would be something that would be interested in the years to come to see if he might provide some depth there and to see if, you know, Tristan Hill could work out to be any type of player.
Yeah, the one pick that I really did enjoy about what the Cowboys made was getting Joe Jackson from the U. We're talking about a 6'4", 275-pound defensive end who has the speed, the burst to get to the quarterback. I mean, this kid had 24 sacks as a 3-year starter at the U, so I love that pickup. I'm telling you, Joe Jackson is going to be a beast for these Cowboys.
And, you know, I mentioned Weber, but then also you have to look at the fact that the Cowboys did draft Tony Pollard, 128th overall, Memphis. But like I said, I mentioned Weber because I think that's going to be a player who has the potential to work out a little bit better for him, maybe spelling Ezekiel Elliott at different points.
Yeah, and Philadelphia Eagles, man. When I look at this Eagles draft, I mean, you got Andre Dillard in the first round. We already know they need left tackle help because Jason Peters, he's a little long in the tooth, proverbial tooth. He's 35 years old. So Andre Dillard, I look for him to be supplanting him, be the heir apparent to him following next season. Running back Miles Sanders, excellent pickup right here. We already know in this Eagles offense, they do love to run the football, catch balls out the backfield on screens. Wide receiver J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. I mean, this kid right here was actually projected at one point earlier, pre-draft talk was to go in the first round, but actually he didn't. But he has a lot of upsides. We're talking about big kids, 6'5", talking about basketball frame, can box out. He should definitely win a lot of those one-on-one matchups. But with that being said, I mean, Eagles really wasn't a big draft, but this team is already loaded. Like I said, Dillard, Sanders, Whiteside were pretty much the best picks for this team, and I think these guys will contribute within the next 1 to 2 years.
I like the pick of Sanders and Whiteside. Look for, Arcega-Whiteside, big body receiver, you know, former basketball player. Look for him to have an impact for the Eagles. You know, that guy's got a lot of raw talent. Now, moving right along, let's talk about these Washington Redskins. Nick, we both know what the big thing for the Redskins was here. Obviously, you know, with the acquisition from Denver, you know, getting Case Keenum, and then also, you know, the issue that they had with Alex Smith going down last year, Colt McCoy coming off also having his leg broke. So the pick here for Washington, it was an excellent pick for where they got it. Haskins was, you know, projected by most to go in the top 10 leading up to the draft, but he did go, 15 overall to the Redskins. So the QB at Ohio State that tossed 50 touchdowns last year for the Buckeyes fell down to 15 for the Redskins, and that worked out well for them as Daniel Snyder, the owner of the Redskins, I think, Haskins went to the same high school or something that Snyder's son goes to or something like that, so he got to watch him a lot growing up. And also, don't forget that, you know, Haskins is from the D.C. area, so he's kind of going back home. And you know what he said, right?
What'd he say, man?
He said, NFL, you done messed up. And, you know, I like the way he said it, though. You know, you got to put it in the you got to say it the right way. You know you done messed up. It reminded me of Menace. You know you done messed up, right? Right. So the Redskins, you know, the other big move they made, 26 overall, getting Montez Sweat out of Mississippi State. You know, his teammate also was in the draft this year that ended up going a little bit later. But we kind of already touched on that. But Sweat, you know, was projected to be, you know, basically a top 10 pick itself as one of the best pass rushers in this draft. To have Washington basically still get him at 26 as well, I mean, it just really – it doesn't seem like Washington's whole organization was completely sold on getting a QB. You know, some people in the organization wanted a pass rusher. So to still get, you know, Sweat at the end of the first – trade back in at the end of the first to get Sweat there. I think that was incredible for the Redskins. Also getting getting Haskins' former teammate at Ohio State, Terry McLaurin, you know, the receiver out of Ohio State, that also helped a lot too. The other big, I think, acquisition or draft pick by the Redskins was Bryce Love out of Stanford. You know, I think that he was maybe a little bit too banged up for me to, you know, be somebody that you want to depend on and that running back stable for the Redskins. But, you know, with the former pick from last year, Darius Geis, who was out all year due to injury, Bryce Love, and then Adrian Peterson, I mean, this Redskins run game might be able to, you know, do a little something this year. And I think that as far as Haskins, I want to ask you, Nick, if you think that we'll see him before the end of the season. But I think that we will. But I think early on, I think that you can expect maybe Case Keenum to start. He's getting paid like, what, $15, $20 million this year.
I'll put it like this. If you are a first-round QB taken at 15 overall and you can't beat out Case Keenum, let me say that one more time. If you get taken in the first round and you can't beat out Case Keenum, there might be something wrong with you. I just said that. I think there might be something wrong with you. Because you should be able to beat out Case Keenum. There's no quarterback competition. I get it. You have to learn the pro game. You have to learn this offense, Jay Gruden's offense. I get that. I understand that. But if you can't beat out Case Keenum, you should not be starting in NFL. That's all I'm going to say on that. All right. NFC North Division. I got to start with these Green Bay Packers. Because this offseason, these Packers had a hell of a free agency. They made some great moves, especially for that secondary. When you look at this draft, some of the issues that they needed to address was tight end. We know Aaron Rodgers needs another tight end. Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham, you've been a little bit of an overrater for these Green Bay Packers, man, and for Aaron Rodgers. I didn't get that at all. But what I'm saying is they needed the tight end, wide receivers. They're pretty set there, except for they lost Randall Cobb this offseason. But that secondary is where they needed the help. Offensive line, they needed help. But in this first round, they decided to go ahead and get Rashawn Gary from Michigan. I mean, you know, when you look at Gary, we're talking about the nation's number one overall recruit. Did not live up to his expectations at Michigan. I mean, I get it. This past season, he was only about 40% play with a he tore up his shoulder, and I get that. So you didn't really see the production on the field. So the main question with Gary is this. He has all the tools to be a productive player, but can he stay healthy? Can he stay healthy, and how is that shoulder? But I think this kid is so motivated based off of what happened in Michigan and how his last season ended. Also in the first round, they had two first-round picks. They picked up the safety from Maryland, Darnell Savage. Like Al Davis used to say, speed, speed, speed is what this kid has. But one of the issues with Darnell, coverage is so-so. But he's a very physical safety. Second round, I love the pickup, getting offense lineman Elgin Jenkins from Mississippi State. Solid pass protector is definitely going to help out Aaron Rodgers for the next couple of years. And in the third round, like I said before, they needed a tight end. They got Jay Sternberger out of Texas A&M. I love this kid, one of the best receiving tight ends in this game. So like I said, when you look at the Packers offseason free agency, excellent job. This draft, excellent job. Packers are going to be a team to watch out for this upcoming season.
The Packers. Now, you know what? I'm going to have to be a little bit of the bad cop in this situation, Nick. You know why? Because Rashawn Gary, you know, as a Michigan fan, we're actually both Michigan fans. Rashawn Gary, he had a very underwhelming career at Michigan to me. What was he, a five-star recruit going into Michigan? And, I mean, the production just wasn't there in his time there. So, you know, hopefully all works out there for him in Green Bay, and he's kind of got a fresh slate. But we'll see if he can live up to the potential he had again going into college. But the Chicago Bears, a lot of Bears fans, the Bears. The Bears, I mean, they're in an interesting spot. You know, they came off of, you know, having a great year last year, really, I guess, probably surprising some people in how well they did under Mitchell Trubisky. One of the big losses for the Bears this offseason was Jordan Howard getting signed by the Eagles, another team in the NFC. But at 73 overall, they did draft arguably, I guess, the best running back in the draft. I mean, you could say it's between him, Josh Jacobs, maybe another guy or two, maybe a guy at Florida Atlantic. But David Montgomery was a draft pick from Iowa State for the Bears at 73 overall. And, you know, the Bears are going to need some help at that position, I think, you know, after losing Howard, who was a big part of their running game. Don't forget, they got the speedster. But then also Riley Ridley was a guy that they drafted number 126 overall out of Georgia. And that's the brother of Calvin Ridley. So I thought that he had a pretty productive career at Georgia. Reminded me a lot of his brother. Didn't quite have the speed, but he's a good route runner. So we'll see if he can contribute to the Bears. I'm pretty sure, actually, that at some point he will either start for the Bears or be a good, you know, guy that they can use in the slot there. But for the Bears, you know, I felt that those were the two picks that really made an impact there. They drafted Kareth White, like I said, out of Florida Atlantic. So, hey, you know, that was later in the draft in the seventh round. But, you know, I think he's projected to go a little bit higher than that. The Bears. I really didn't feel like they had a great draft, but between Ridley and Montgomery, if they can give him anything on offense, I mean, they might be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, it's hard to have an excellent draft where you don't have a first-round pick, you don't have a second-round pick. But the rest of the picks, you better at least try to come close to doing a good, decent job. And I think the Bears, not bad because this team is already loaded. All right, Minnesota Vikings, we already know. Coach Zimmer, he's all about – physical style offense, physical style on defense. And we already know the Vikings' main weakness the past few years has been that offensive line. They've been going through tackles and guards left to right. I mean, it's been musical chairs over there on that offensive line, and they still just can't get right because when you got that, over, what was he, $100 million quarterback that they have, I mean, you got to keep this guy upright. So with that being said, first round pick, I love to pick up Garrett Bradbury, best offensive lineman in this draft, can play the tackle or guard spot. Basically, I'm pull like this. He's this year's version of Quentin Nelson. We already know what Quentin Nelson did for the Colts last year, all pro first year, rookie year. This kid, he's definitely going to do that. Second round, I love the pickup of tight end Irv Smith, because already news been reported out today that the Minnesota Vikings are looking at trading Kyle Rudolph. And Kyle Rudolph is a solid player, but he just hasn't produced and hasn't stayed healthy. But Irv Smith knows how to get open. He's not a blocker, but can get open and has speed. Third round, I do like the running back out of State, Alex Mattison. I mean, this is a good, solid back right here. Actually adds quality depth behind Dalvin Cook. And then the sixth round, they picked up USC linebacker Cameron Smith, who's a thumper. Seventh round, I do like the pick of cornerback Chris Boyd out of Texas, very physical corner. So with that being said, these guys in the late round, I think these guys are going to contribute down the road. With that being said, Vikings had a solid draft.
Yeah, so we're going to finish off the NFC North talking about the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions at number 8 overall. Commissioner pick, the pick is in. TJ Hockenson, the tight end out of Iowa. Now, TJ Hockenson had a solid career. Don't forget that Noah Fant was his teammate at Iowa. Both of them were two productive tight ends that were both drafted in the first round. For Hockenson, you know, he's an overall good player. Not a great blocker coming out of college, but he's got all the tools to actually, you know, be an all-around tight end in the same mold as Gronkowski or some of the other, you know, again, versatile tight ends that are just all-around players, as far as being a good inline blocker and also being able to, make mixed matches for linebackers in the pass game. Another draft pick for the Lions that I think could be an impact pick for them is Will Harris out of Boston College. Safety was drafted in the third round, number 81 overall, and should have an opportunity to, work into compete for a starting position there for the Lions.
Yeah, I mean, Rude, you touched on the Lions draft, but I wasn't too impressed with the Will Harris. I thought that was a reach because Will Harris, man, he flashes at times on film, but his weakness is coverage. And to get Will Harris in the third round, when you could got him in the fifth or sixth round, that was a reach. And I'm not going to say he hails from the Overration Nation right now because he's a rookie. But with that being said, fans, we'll be back in a little bit. We got to take a short restroom break. And, yes, we're all about cleanliness, and we will wash our hands.
I don't make no guarantees.
Whatever, man. All right, see you in a second, guys.
Oh, my God. I'm here to introduce Bustified. Bustified is a highly effective spray that is used for former first-round picks and high-profile free agents whose play on the field was just highly ineffective. Bustified is also used for players who got dropped off from a team and the NFL. Now, fans, imagine if you can take a can of Bustified with you to a football game and use it on your favorite player who's not producing. That would be red. And ladies, if you can always keep it in your purse and use it when some lame guy is trying to holler at you.
All right, welcome back, sports fans, to the second half. We got two divisions left of this NFC conference recapping. We're going to be finishing up with the NFC South division in the NFC West. I am your host, Neek, my main man, Rudy Ruse, right here with me in studio. And it's crazy, man, because we've already got a couple tweets. Vance was like, man, that's all you talked about, Rudy, was my Lions, is T.J. Hockenson and Will Harris.
Hey, they only should have got T.J. Hockenson. You know why? Because at the end of the day, Will Harris might get dropped off.
Yeah.
But the Lions did overall have 9 draft picks, for example. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to go through all of them. To be honest with you, at the end of the day, hey, this ain't a Mel Kiper show, bro. I mean, we don't know who's going to be great. We all know, who's going to be a bust. Not yet, but when we do find out, we'll tell you if they're a little too busty.
Yeah, dude, you kind of creep me out, man, because you look like you just grabbed your chest.
I was rubbing on my chest while I was saying too busty.
Nah, man, come on, man. You're a little too close to me,
man.
You rubbing your chest.
To the double D's.
Oh, God, dude. And yeah, fans, for those curious to know what Rudy really looks like, he has 8 cups. Anyway, that's it. All right.
That's my shout out to Dolly Parton, man. 2 buses.
All right. Atlanta Falcons. First round, we already know, man. You look at this Falcons team. Matt Ryan was sacked 52 times last season. Matt Ryan is this team's franchise QB. But he won't be your franchise QB much longer if you can't protect him. And that's why the Falcons went in the first round. They had two draft picks. They picked up guard Chris Lindstrom from Boston College. He definitely should come in, start at the right guard position, definitely help out Matt Ryan. Also, in the end of the first round, they took Caleb McGarry from Washington. He is definitely...
I like that pick, man. Caleb McGarry's had, you know, kind of a hard background if you go back and look and, you know, see some of the things that he and his family went through. And like you said, the Falcons needed to address that line to get some of that heat off of Ryan. So I love this pick.
And like I said, he's definitely an upgrade over Ryan Schrader, the former right tackle. This kid right here, like Rudy was saying, upbringing on this kid, his background. I mean, this kid is a tremendous young man, on and off the feet. He has great feet, plays well against speed rushers. I'm telling you, this dude is going to be a beast. So when you look at the tackle spots, left tackle, we got Matthews holding down over there. Right tackle, you're going to have McGarry hold it down there. And then at that right guard spot, Lindstrom, Matt Ryan, next few years, he should be standing upright. Also, in the fourth round, they picked up Ohio State cornerback Kendall Sheffield. Very fast corner, but the issue I have with Sheffield is that he struggles tackling. I like my corner to cover and to tackle because if a wide receiver gets 15 yards on you and you right there with him, you got to tackle his ass and break his ass down to the ground. If you can't do that, you need to get your ass off the field.
And you're going to be toast, and you know what? You needed to be a euthanizer.
You're definitely a euthanizer. And also, the other issue that Kendall Sheffield has to work on is his footwork. Cornerback position is all about quick feet. You got to be able to turn those hips, and you got to be able to run with that wide receiver. And you got to be able to locate the ball.
Gotta have them ball skills.
I can't stand these corners who can't locate the ball.
They get them PIs.
It's like, what are you doing? You turn around, you look up. Oh, damn. The ball go over my head. Yes, it did, fool. It just pisses me off. With that being said, Falcons, this draft was all about protecting Ryan for the next few years.
Yes, sir. So, you know, that's the Falcons draft in a nutshell, Neat. I felt that you did a pretty good job breaking down, but I felt that the big thing they needed to do is, like you said, address the offensive line. They did so. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, one of my old stomping grounds. With the Bucs, fifth overall pick in this year's 2019 NFL draft, they chose probably the best linebacker in this draft, Devin White out of LSU. Devin White is a playmaker. He can definitely go from sideline to sideline. He's going to be starting day one for them. So for this Tampa Bay defense, you know that not sure if they're going to lose Gerald McCoy. They pretty much already lost JPP for the year. I know you think that he might play. I'm not sure with that neck injury, but they're going to need some help defensively. You know, they lost some things offensively. So, you know, this team I think is going to go through a little bit of a rebuilding year, but Devin White is definitely going to be the quarterback of that defense that they needed. You also look at the fact that the Bucs, they did draft Sean Bunting, cornerback out of Central Michigan in the second round, number 39 overall. They went and drafted a quarterback, 94 overall, Jamel Dean from Auburn. Also a safety from Kentucky, and Mike Edwards. So you can see that they were definitely busy in trying to address that defensive backfield. And Mike Edwards, you know, he played safety, went number 99 overall. Anthony Nelson was 107, so the Bucs were busy, you know, there around that time in the draft. And he was a defensive lineman out of Iowa. Anthony Nelson has a chance to, again, really make an impact and potentially start for the Bucs. You know, coming from Iowa, again, good versatile player that's got some pass rush ability. He's looking for some consistency in the pass rush game. But, I mean, again, he can have an impact for the Bucs. So I think that the Bucs, you know, help themselves, if nothing else, and getting, you know, a plethora of picks there because I think this team has a lot of holes. Scott Miller, shout out to him, drafted in the seventh round at a Bowling Green wide receiver. So we'll see if he can stick around and make that team. He does need some help with the position.
Yeah, and you got to understand that Bruce Arians is taking over as the coach of the Bucs. Todd Bowles is the new defensive coordinator. With Todd Bowles, he likes speed at the corner position. He likes physical corners. So that's why this Bucs team drafted all these corners in this draft. All right, moving on to Carolina. Carolina Panthers. Man, Panthers last season was a disappointing season. I mean, people were just like, Cam, oh, Cam. I mean, that's what it's all about, Cam. But Cam, fortunately, that shoulder started hurting a little bit. So with that being said, this draft, man, you look at this team, they need pass rushers. I know Cam is the future, but I'm going to touch on maybe his future replacement. I'm going to touch on that second. But the first round, we already know, man. Ron Rivera, he's all about defense. He's all about them pass rushers. They took Brian Burns, very versatile edge rusher who needs to add bulk. Don't get me wrong. This kid has speed, but he needs to put on some bulk. He can play in the 3-4 and the 4-3 defense. Second round, they did take Greg Little, which was a need. We already know the tackle position is a big need for them. But Greg Little, man, Greg Little 2018 tape was terrible. I mean, he was getting ran all around. I mean, he looked like an old man out there with bad knees. I was like, damn, that's Greg Little. I mean, his 2016-17 tape was great, but 2018 tape, terrible. So hopefully, man, we'll see what Greg Little shows up. Third round, Will Grier.
Woo,
man. My guy. Man, I love this kid right here. This boy can throw that ball. And like I said, Cam. Oh, Cam. And like I said, Cam had that shoulder surgery, man. So I don't know. You know, you have a shoulder surgery and you a QB, man, it's iffy. I mean, you know, hopefully Cam can bounce back from it. We'll see. You know, he might be very limited in some of his throws. I mean, he might not be able to put that pressure on that deep ball, but I mean, we'll see, man. So, but Real Greer was actually could be a solid backup for Cam right here, you know, just in case, you know. I mean, like you said, if his shoulder doesn't get better, whatever. Then in the fourth round, defense in Alabama, Christian Miller. I like this kid right here. He's very solid against the pass and the run, but he has to stay healthy and has to stay consistent, be consistent. And then in the seventh round, they did pick up the speedster wide receiver from Georgia, Terry Goodwin. Definitely has a lot of speed and is a kick returning specialist. So with that being said, Panthers, Ron Rivera, we got to get some rushers. We got to protect him. They did that with a first and second round pick. And Root, what we got? We got them Saints.
Yeah, but before that, the Panthers, I think it's huge that they did get Will Grier. If nothing else, he could be a future backup for them. And, you know, I thought Cam Newton was supposed to be back this year, but he seems determined to play this year, so that seems like a big pickup there in the draft. And then I also think Brian Burns has just got just overrated written all over him, and I think he might end up getting dropped off before too long, or he might be great. But, you know, what I see from him, he hails from the Overration Nation.
Nah, Rue, you can't say he hails from the Overration Nation because it's too soon, man. Why do you think Brian Burns is going to be a bust?
I was just going to say that. It's just because it seemed like a one-trick pony, you know, at Florida State. I mean, if he can't, you know, get by you with speed and power and getting low, then, you know, he didn't seem like he had a lot of additional pass rush moves in his arsenal. So hopefully he can work on that, you know, in Carolina. Otherwise, you already know what's going to happen, man. We already told you. So for the New Orleans Saints, you know, I think that in this draft, one of the things that they needed to do and continue to do, you know, is just make sure that Drew Brees is protected. Early in the draft, number 48 overall, because they didn't have a first-round pick. They did draft Eric McCoy out of Texas A&M. Moving right along at 105 overall, the pick that I really actually like for the Saints was Chauncey Gardner-Johnson out of Florida, you know, a safety. I think that he could help that defense quite a bit. To actually find out another pick that I like from the Saints, you have to go all the way against the seventh round. You know, I like them late-round draft picks, those guys that I think that might be the surprise or the gems in the draft. Alize Mack out of Notre Dame had over 35 receptions for the Fighting Irish last year. You know, obviously some questions in his game getting drafted, you know, that low in the draft, you know, maybe like separation, for example. But he's got, you know, good soft hands and catch the ball in coverage. You know, he's a hands catcher. So we'll see if Drew Brees can find him. You know, no longer having Benjamin Watson there, maybe a new toy for Drew Brees. So, you know, watch out for him. He might have an impact this year. Alize Mack. I just like the name.
Hey, that's funny, man, because – hold on, let me go back. What do we say for the Saints? Fourth round, I think we both love Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Damn, that's a hell of a player name right there. You know, you see a beautiful woman on a Wednesday night. Hey, baby, my name is Chauncey. Thursday night, my name is Gardner. Friday night, my name is Johnson. And then you bring Alizé with you on Saturday
night.
You're
the only one that be giving them the different names, bro.
And then on Saturday night, you bring your boy Alizé. What's your name, baby? My name Alizé. Shut up. Your name ain't Alizé. You pull out that driver light and say Alizé. Ooh, damn.
Nah, it's Mr. Mac, baby.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go. All right, let's move right along. Oh, man. So, hold on. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. I guess he's just going to abbreviate as CGJ.
Like Dominique Rogers-Cromartie, right?
Yeah, DRC, CGJ. Damn. Be on the microphone. I'm CGJ.
He gave him his nickname, man.
There it is. All right.
Be rapping with Le'Veon.
I don't know about that. But anyway. All right, NFC West Division. Let's start with these Arizona Cardinals. I'm going to put it like this. When you take your franchise QB number one overall, you got to get him some weapons. Got to
get him some help.
And I did not know that this team would load up in the draft. I mean, with all these wide receivers. Yeah, I mean, well, Cliff Kingsbury, the new coach, is like, look, man, I got my QB that I let slip away in college. But now I'm the NFL coach. If he comes back around again, I'm not going to let him slip away. And I'm going
to
get him.
And don't forget to give people the background about what happened with my man Josh Rosen, you know, leading up to the draft and all the drama he went through in terms of Kingsbury and Murray and Rosen.
Yeah, I mean, I ain't going to touch much on that, man, because the media, they already know about that. And, you know, we got to save some time. We're doing our show. This is our show. This is what we do. But I'm going to tell you like this. I've actually watched – I was coaching football in Dallas, and I've actually seen Kyler Murray play in person. And in high school, you played at Allen High School. No, we didn't play against Allen High School because that's pretty much that was like the best team in the state. Allen has so many state championships, but Kyler Murray was a beast. I mean, this kid, you couldn't stop him. I mean, you cannot stop him. I mean, the kid runs what low 4.4s and the 40. I mean, he's just like Speedy Gonzalez. He's like the Roadrunner. Beep beep, gone. You know, I mean, this kid was phenomenal. But to get him number one overall, so you have your franchise QB, but you need to surround him with weapons. Because when you look at this receiving core, it's Larry Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk. Let's say that once again. Larry Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk. So Kingsbury is all about that air raid offense. Five wide attack. That's what it's all about. David Johnson, I love you, kid, but I feel kind of bad for you because in this offense, you ain't going to get the ball much. You might get the ball on a lot of draws. But I'm telling you, Kiff Kingsbury loves to air the ball out. Kyler Murray should win Rookie of the Year. He should have put up about almost 5,000 passing yards. But in the second round, I love the pickup of Andy Isabella, 5'9", little speedster out of UMass, deep threat. Woo, when you go back and watch that tape when UMass played Georgia, damn, Isabella tore Georgia's ass up. And we're talking about a lot of 5'9", wide receiver, short wide receiver, tore the ass up.
And also for the Patriots.
Yeah, I also love the second-round pickup of cornerback Byron Murphy. We already know about the situation with Patrick Peterson. We don't know if he's going to get traded or stay. With that being said, if Peterson does stay, Byron Murphy and Peterson, that's a nice little tandem right there. One of the best pure zone corners in this draft. Third round, Boston College defense in Zach Allen. I love this kid right here. He can play inside or on the edge. 6'4", 281 pounds, great against the run. Fourth round, Iowa State wide receiver Hakeem the Dream Butler, 6'5", field stretcher, will definitely win all the one-on-one jump ball battles. And then the fifth round, they did pick up the safety from Alabama, who was projected to go earlier in the draft, second or third round, Deontay Thompson. I love this kid's game, but here's the problem I have with Deontay. Zero INTs. You playing at Bama, you can't get your hand on a pick. You can't get one pick. You have zero? I'm talking about just one pick. One pick. You can't even get one pick, man. So, yeah, the ball awareness skills for this kid is not great. Definitely has a skinny frame. Needs to add balking in the sixth round. I love the wide receiver, Keyshawn Johnson. This kid right here had 24 touchdowns while playing on the outside at Fresno State. Great route runner. So, with that being said, the future is bright for this Kingsbury offense. But the problem is, who's going to protect Kyler Murray?
That's the real question, Nick. But, you know, one of the things that I think, you know, that they kind of do, you know, in college and that Kingsbury system is known for, or just any of those, you know, style of systems, is you let your quarterback, you know, pretty much get out the pocket. I mean, it might be quick throws, but you let him really spread the ball around. So, I mean, you don't really have to have great blocking. It's either out fast or he's going to break the pocket. So, you know, one pick that I love for the Arizona Cardinals, and I really wanted to go into a little bit more detail with their draft, but, you know, I think you covered it pretty well. Hakeem Butler, man. Hakeem Butler has the potential to be a monster in the NFL. 6'5", 227, soft hands. Oh, man, I think Murray's going to like him as a target. Watch out for this guy. That might be my best value pick in the draft. I wouldn't have been, you know, surprised to see him go any earlier than the second round. But at the fourth round, you know, I felt that that's about where he was slotted at. But, again, one of my favorite players in this draft. Moving right along to the San Francisco 49ers, I think that, you know, big what they did here was going to be dependent on what the Cardinals did at one. You know, obviously the Cardinals, who need just touched on, drafted Kyler Murray first overall. But, you know, here, the 49ers, I think the whole time they were basically set on the notion that if Nick Bosa fell to them here, that's who they were going to take. So at the second overall pick, out of Ohio State, the San Francisco 49ers did draft defensive end Nick Bosa. Obviously, we know that his brother already plays in the NFL. Joey Bosa. Also, I believe their father played in the NFL as well. So, you know, quite an NFL lineage, just like the Long brothers. You know, so, you know, it's great pickup here. Bosa's one of the, you know, definitely most talented players, if not the most talented player in this draft. Obviously, you know, had some issue with you know, soft tissue injury there last year for Ohio State, kept him out. You know, we'll see what he can do in the NFL, but I think that the sky is the limit for Bosa, young Bosa, the Bosa brothers. You know, again, I think he'll be a guy that produces double digit sacks for this 49ers defense, who's been looking for a pass rusher for quite some time, since the way they drafted Solomon Thomas, for example, out of Stanford, hasn't really panned out for him. He was on the trading block before the draft. Debo Samuel, pick 36 overall out of South Carolina. I like Samuel a lot. You know, he's a big body receiver. He definitely got skills as a returner. I felt like this was actually a little bit high for Debo Samuel. Like, I mean, I think this was about where he was projected to go, but I mean, like, I would have been felt a lot better if I was a team drafting him, if I had a got him, say, at the top of the third round or 56 overall, something like that. You know what I mean? And you know, just being that he went 36 overall, seemed a little bit high for a guy. You don't know if he can come in and be that number one receiver.
Let me tell you something, Root. You need to calm down. Let me fang your ass right now, because you're talking about this is a reach. No, it's not. Anytime you tear Clemson ass up for 9 catches over 200 receiving yards, and you talking about this is a reach, we're talking about a defense that has what? 7 that's produced what? 8 or 9 draft picks from this championship team this past season. And you talking about he's a reach? He's not no damn reach. You know why? Because he's Debo, and he had 9 catches for 200 receiving yards.
You know what? I'm going to ask for my bike back from Debo in this case. And you know what? I'm just going with the facts here and the numbers, Nick. Debo Samuels had 62 catches last year. So, I mean, you know, again, he can give you a lot in the return game, but I think that, you know, again, what he can do as a receiver, the 49ers need that guy. I mean, you know, obviously now, I mean, you know, they've been needing a receiver for a long time. So I think Samuel needs to be that guy for them. So we'll see if he can step up and be that. But they did also get Jalen Hurd out of Baylor. So, you know, I mean, they tried to kind of hedge their bet there. We're making sure that they did load up on guys for Garoppolo to throw to. You know, he's out pretty much all last year with injury. So with him coming back, the 49ers do have a bright future. Look for, like I said, you know, late round pick that I think a guy might be able to really produce for them is Caden Smith. You put him alongside George Kittle. You know, George Kittle needed a partner, you know what I'm saying, on the field. You know, take a little bit of that stress off of him and, you know, avoid the double teams. So, you know, George Kittle's got a buddy now, again, tight end out of Stanford, Caden Smith.
All right, man. You know, the 49ers, man, you look at that draft you just went over. Then you look on paper. They have a lot of first-round defensive linemen. I mean, they really do. A lot of these guys have not panned out. But here's the key ingredient. You bring in D Ford. D Ford, who they got in free agency. Now you have D Ford. You have DeForest
Buckner.
Yeah, Buckner. He had over 12 sacks last season.
He's a player. He's one of the few defensive linemen that they've drafted recently. It's actually panned out for him. He's a beast.
Yeah, and then you know, and you talk about him. Now you have Bosa, and D Ford. I mean, they actually have some pass rushers right now, but that Solomon Thomas, Woo! If you can get a 7th round pick for him, a trade for him, that's basically a bag of peanuts.
He look too busty.
And I'm talking about them Delta peanuts is probably what you're going to get
and
a trade for.
You know
for
what? Right now, he's on the verge of getting dropped out.
All right, but enough about the 49ers. The future does look bright for this team this upcoming season. All right, Seattle Seahawks. We already know Frank Clark, he got traded to the Kansas City Chiefs. So with that being said, Pete Carroll says, okay.
Uh-huh.
What you gonna do, Pete Carroll? Hey, Pete Carroll, you guys know you traded Frank Clark. You traded Frank. Yeah. You traded Frank Clark. What you gonna do now? Don't worry about it. You'll see. Hey, Pete Carroll, what you gonna do about the pass rushing position? You know you traded away Frank Clark.
Yeah,
you'll see. So, with that being said, draft night, Pete Carroll let the world know that in the first round, they drafted defensive end TCU's L.J. Collier. We're talking about a very versatile defensive end who can play inside or outside, 6'2", 283 pounds. Man, this kid's story is crazy, man. But he has a big chip on the shoulder. He lost his mother during his freshman year game that she came to see after that game. She passed away, and that's really touching. So this kid right now, he's on a mission. He's going to probably ball out in this league. Hopefully, I wish this kid the best, but he's definitely playing with a chip on the shoulder. And then in the second round, we all know Pete Carroll loves those big physical Cam Chancellor type safety. So they went and get Utah's own strong safety, Marquise Blair. Should definitely come in and compete with Hill for the strong safety starting position. 6'1", 195 pounds, needs to add a little bit of bulk, but is more comfortable playing at the line of scrimmage. And then also in the second round, they go get DK the Hawk Metcalf. I mean, man, you guys already know the media. You know, you've seen him with his shirt off. Dude is crazy, be ripped. But here's the problem with Metcalf, man. You're going to have to be able to learn how to run some NFL routes.
I mean, I just wish I had Metcalf's body.
I mean, I sure do too, man. That dude's diesel. But what I'm saying is you got to be able to learn how to run NFL routes. We're talking about comebacks. We're talking about cuts. We're talking about slants. I mean, we know he's just used to fly as a post. That's pretty much all he does. And he wins a lot of those jump balls. But he's going to have to learn how to be able to run these routes. And then also I like the 4th round pickup of Gary Jennings from West Virginia, 6'1", 214, should see a lot of playing time with Metcalf and Lockett. And then also in the 5th round, they draft middle linebacker from Washington, Ben Kerkhaven. I mean, this kid right here is a beast, a tackling machine, led the nation with 176 tackles last season. And to finish off this division, Rudy Rude, we got the Rams.
Well, Nick, we went all through the NFC. We wrapped up the AFC last week, and the last team on the clock this week is the Los Angeles Rams. And actually, you know what? The Rams are one of my teams I like to follow, actually, in the NFL season. Had a great year last year. One of the things it seems like was the focus for them in this draft, especially leading up to the draft, was the defensive back position. So with guys like Aqib Talib, for example, getting up and on in years, they did look to get younger there in that secondary. With the 61st overall pick in the second round, they got Taylor Rapp, who is the safety out of Washington. Now, Rapp was arguably the best safety in this draft, so for the Rams to get him here, definitely a good value pick. And that's what I was talking about earlier, Nick. It's not that, for example, Deebo Samuel to the 49ers was a bad pick, but that, it wasn't great value there. And that's why, I say at Taylor Rapp at 61 is great value for the position of need. Another pick that they made that I absolutely love was David Long, number 79 overall out of Michigan. David Long was definitely the best defensive back for Michigan last year. He's a ball hawk. He's also solid, in the run game and just all around in covers. So, I think he's going to be a player that can I'm not going to say that he can start day one, but he's definitely got a good chance of doing so. At their cornerback position. So we'll see what, these two do to integrate themselves into the Rams lineup and to their defense. But I think overall the Rams had a good draft, especially when you consider that those two players will be immediately on day one playing and contributing, whether it be on special teams, getting snaps on defense, or, the outside chance. So, Rapp probably will start, but the outside chance that Long starting off the season as well.
And with that being said, fans, we hope you enjoyed the show. If you missed the show live, you can always go on iTunes or follow us on Twitter at Neek and Rude. And next week, we're going to start recapping East Division, talking about where did the teams go right, where did the teams go wrong, and where did they stand with this depth
and
chart.
Who's going to win the AFC North, all those kind of questions.
We got a little time on that, but it's mainly more recapping, man. And we're going to see where the depth chart of most of these teams stack up and where they rank with these draft
pickups. And, of course,
pickups.
Who drafted Daniel Jones too high in the draft?
Shut up. On that note, Neek, Root, see you guys next week.
Peace and love.